Hey everybody, welcome to My Few Movies. This week, we are talking about Home Alone 3. Now, I'm sure there's confusion as to why Home Alone 3 and not one of the real Home Alone movies. Well, first, bit of prob. We riffed for Patreon Home Alone 2, so we might get back to it one day, but I've told some jokes. Second, this apparently was Roger Ebert's favorite one, because there's actually a reason for the shenanigans. And, I don't know, seemed like a good idea at the time. Welcome to December and all of our holiday shenanigans, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And as I record, and as this gets released, happy Hanukkah tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Welcome to My Happy Movies. This week we're doing Home Alone 3 in honor of, well, the holiday season. And we are covering Roger Ebert's favorite Home Alone movie. Yeah, and the one that makes the most tits jokes per capita. I am your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel we've got...
I'm Candace.
And Kieko.
And for those of you, this is off the top of my dome, I'm sure I'll forget at the end. If you're interested in hearing Cineprov riff one of these movies, 2 years back we did Home Alone 2 as a riff. So reach out for the Patreon and we will send it your way. So we decided, of course, to do a Home Alone movie because this is the Home Alone season. And last year, Disney released the worst Home Alone movie, Home Sweet Home Alone, where we're supposed to sympathize with the villains. That can fuck right off. So we decided this year to do one of the original ones and the one that I saw in theaters in 1997. And I was very disappointed when
Really?
I mean, it was funny, but I'm there for Daniel Stern. I'll be honest, like... friend of the show. My grandmother actually taught his kids. So if you can imagine a situation with a parent-teacher conference with Daniel Stern, that's kind of the best. Yeah. Just in general, for me, the Home Alone movies are the like my favorite movies of the holiday season. They're ridiculous. They're over the top. And some of them even have heart. Like that first one really is, it's almost a tearjerker at points. This is none of those things. But it is still funny. Kieko, had you seen this before?
Yeah. I had seen it as a kid. I feel like I felt like it was newer than it was. Like, actually, so when I saw Scarlett Johansson in it, I was like, holy cow. I thought this movie came out like 10 years ago.
It's 1997.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was a little weird. But I don't remember how I felt about, like, I don't know. I like the slapstick stuff. So that's really... It was
I had not seen it before. In fact, I didn't know there was any more than two Home Alones.
No kidding.
I had no idea.
I knew there was two.
How about when I searched for this, I saw four. I was like, wait, four?
Yeah. I didn't know there was more than just one and two. That's it. That's all I knew of. I was like, obviously, you know, when they had Tim Curry in it, for the second movie, that's the pinnacle. It's the mountain. You can't make anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why they had to get a new kid. So there you go.
I mean, first, let's be clear here. This kid kind of sucks. I'm sorry. He's just a little, the little bowl cut he's got. He's just such an annoying little kid. I know Macaulay Culkin is not exactly...
It's tough to beat.
Yeah, he's not a pleasant kid in those movies. But this kid kind of sucks. His name is Alex, or the character is Alex Pruitt. His name in real life is Alex Lintz.
What did Alex Lintz go on to do after this?
Very little, other than the fact that he is he's in some previous episodes. He was in Tarzan. Mm-hmm. He voices young Tarzan. He was in Titan AE previous episode. He was a voice in the bizarre movie Red Dragon, which we might end up doing one day.
Nice.
But it seems like once he reached adulthood, he just told his parents he was not going to act anymore.
You know, valid, you know, point. What? I get it.
Again, love Macaulay Culkin. He seems like he made it out by the skin of his teeth. Mm-hmm. So anyone who doesn't get Culkin'd, you're fine. Like, you know, I don't know. This kid was... They did exactly what he wanted to do. I was half convinced he was one of the kids from Home Improvement for half of it.
Yeah. It's like when you buy your Jonathan Taylor Thomas off Wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say made for TV, but they were on TV. Did you ever watch Home Improvement? Were you a Home Improvement household?
Not. I mean, a little bit.
I think everyone watched it a little bit.
We were a Roseanne family.
But, well, it was part of that whole, like, primetime lineup. Like, If you had a family, right? Like
a house,
a place.
If you weren't an orphan.
If you had a place, like you were required to watch a certain lineup on Thursday night and Friday night. Like that's just the way it was.
That's right.
Everybody watched it. Everyone watched the same thing. The way everybody got along.
Well, and I mean, that's of course back when Tim Allen had a not Santa Claus based career.
That's true.
But just...
Listen, he was Buzz Lightyear, so
he's fine. Don't worry about Tim Allen; he's doing fine.
You're all right.
I just remember, I think it was the brother Mark at one point became goth, and then that was the biggest thing. Like, it was because Tim Allen always has this kind of like conservative dad edge to him. So it was like a goth kid, ho, 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 ho. And I'm just like, and it has nothing to do with this movie. But the second. This kid just
that's
goes on and
that's
on.
That's what this movie was missing was a goth kid. I mean, it was 1997.
Or any friends?
Yeah.
The first one has like 700 children because those McAllisters were up to some fucking. But like this, like because there's aunts, uncles, cousins. There's like 20 kids in that house. Mm-hmm. We boiled them down to three.
Yeah.
And a talking parent.
It's to show that there can't be kids because she's a working woman now. She's too busy. To have sex and have more kids. She has a career
there
now.
There are three, right? There's Scarlett Johansson, the little boy, and then the kid from Toy Story.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he looks like Buzz, but if it was the TV version of Buzz, right? Mm-hmm. Like, his face is a little smaller, his hair is a little bigger.
It's the real life version.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a terrible haircut. I had that haircut in the 90s, probably around this age, where I combed my hair like forward and then did the flippy-do in the front to curve it back. So it was like a big lip.
What?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what you're describing. A big lip?
Wait a minute. So it came all forward and then like this?
No, it was combed back like this and then over. So I had like this lip in the front, like a cresting wave in the front of my hair.
That's how your hair is now.
Yes, but now... I'm older and my decisions matter less.
Oh,
I don't have to look cool anymore.
You already have a wife. She already lets you touch boobies.
Yeah, it's this whole thing.
I get to touch boobies.
It's boobies, see?
I did at one point have the spiky 90s hair as well.
I bet you did. Did you have frosted tips?
I had frosted tips. Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Did you also like sing for Smash Mouth or did you have a cooking show?
No, neither of those. My husband had the... this hair, like the shape,
the part in the middle.
She's making a mustache.
Yes,
with her hands, y'all. Just so you know,
what is that called?
Like a villain that would tie someone to a railroad
track. It's like the '90s teen.
Is the Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yeah.
Yes, it's the part in the middle.
He had
who
that.
Also was on Home Improvement.
That's right.
Tapestry.
I mean, so was Pamela Anderson for a while too.
That's right.
She was the tool girl. Lisa. Yeah, you know what? The kid could have ended up with that. Let's be honest, oddly phallic haircut where it's part of the middle and kind of bowl cut back, the penis head haircut. Mm-hmm. We dodged a bullet there. But this kid really does look like an orphan or something. Like he has a little orphan Annie where it's like kind of framing his face.
He's kind
with
of a mullet. Kind of a mullet going on.
It's a weird shaggy mullet.
Yeah.
So the beginning of this movie is a different movie. The beginning of this movie is like a Mission Impossible where they're breaking it, where apparently a bunch of
suburb.
White North Korean terrorists are stealing a missile chip from a Air Force research facility. Like it's a goings on. They're using night vision goggles. They're stealing stuff. It's a lot. While we're here, who wants to give the plot synopsis?
There's Daniel and Matt when you need them.
Yeah.
Did we just splice Matt in? Like okay. So
cue Daniel or Matt from. the future.
Make them watch it because I had to watch The Stupids and not be on that one, and I'm still mad about that. So
let's see.
No, so make Daniel do it.
No, I can give the synopsis. Okay. I don't mind giving the synopsis.
You,
all right, no problem. All right, so here's the synopsis of this film. For Home Alone 3, we start off with
without any ideas
that this movie even existed. And it's criminals that are attempting to steal a piece of very important missile technology from the U.S. Air Force. And they plan on selling it to North Korea, preferably to a man standing in front of a fish tank with sharks in it where he's backlit ominously.
Forgot about
him. Oh, yeah. And they are about to get busted. And so they decide to put it into a toy car because you have to go through customs at the airport. They place the toy car into a Parisian bag.
It's 1997.
Yes. And apparently there are hundreds of Parisian carts at this one airport, all in San Francisco, which I really don't understand that connection. But anyways, they're selling the San Francisco bread in their Parisian bags. And so while going through the airport security, which I thought was kind of ironic, though, because I didn't think in 1997 there was that level of airport security. I only equate there being this security after 9/11. Yeah. So that was just kind of that immediately stuck out to me. I just want to point that out there. They get through security, and instead, a grumpy old lady accidentally switches her Parisian bag, which is full of bread, for their Parisian bag, which is a toy car with a secret missile chip inside of it. She returns home. She has to pay a little boy in her neighborhood for shoveling snow. He does it late, so in classic fashion, she doesn't want to pay him because she's a horrible, mean old lady. But she says, here, take this toy. I have no use for it anyways. So now the bad guys realize that they've tracked down the old lady. They're like, oh, we got to get our toy back. They know it's somewhere on the block. They move into a house on the block, which, by the way, I've been trying to move into a house for like 5 years. They move into a house in like a day and a half. It's the 90s, I guess. It's just the magic of the 90s. They move in, and then they start going house by house, trying to burglarize them and find out where the toy is. The little boy is at home sick with chicken pox. So he's sitting out of his window looking, and he sees them burgling and blah, blah, blah. And that's where we start. Thank you. I'm sure that synopsis was awesome.
I just noticed
it was as good as the movie.
They look very comfy. So before we move on too far.
Too late.
Yeah.
I also had to explain chicken pox to my 6-year-old. Because the kid is laid up in bed with chicken pox, and he's like, what is chicken pox?
So, you know, at this point, since we've had the theft stuff, and we've had that, now we've chased them down when they're doing kind of this, the random Chinese guy who we keep cutting back to, who's trying to sell stuff to the Korean.
He's Korean.
Well, but let's be clear for a second. He's not actually Korean. He's selling stuff to the Koreans, and they give him this, like, let's just assume everything about this movie's race stuff is wrong, because they also have Japanese symbols in the room. So, whatever. He's trying to steal this stuff, and so we're cutting, you gotta give me that chip! And so what we're doing is we're first tracking the kid as the chicken pox is getting worse and worse. The mom is leaving, and so this is where we end up with the shenanigans. They end up tracking the kid via the car. He doesn't realize they're looking for the car, but he takes them on the back roads behind the neighborhoods, and this is where we get our kind of first wave of shenanigans as he's like plowing them through walls and all this stuff. And it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to prove to everyone he's not lying. So he's videotaping them by putting a video camera on the car, which the most unbelievable thing about this whole story outside of Parisian bread is the fact that an actual remote control car could A, actually go that long, and B, go that far away.
It did make me really want, like, a remote control car for Christmas. Right? Like, I was just like, because, like, when I was a kid, I had, like, the Ricochet, the one that could flip over and still drive. Like, and I was just like, I kind of want a remote control car. Like, it just, but, like, and this is where I think the movie feels the most disconnected. Because, like, Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
So the rest of it's all just like.
Oh, you know, it makes perfect sense. But like Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern are always kind of the same assholes that they are the entire movie from the beginning to the end. But at the beginning, these villains are like badass, super spy thing. And then here, they're like chasing a remote control car wearing bad wigs. They're like, whoa!
Like boink! And they're making boink noises when they like fall into each other and stuff.
And I mean, and again, I'm acknowledging this is a Home Alone movie and it's utter nonsense, but the tone is all over the place. Like, the most we get in Home Alone, the original, that something's off is when he's finding, like, when Kevin is doing the narration and he's looking through Buzz's, like, chest and he's like, He's grabbing the money. I'll save you for later. And the fireworks. And he's like looking at his Playboys. He goes, no clothes on anyone. Disgusting. Like that's weird. But it's just John Hughes nonsense about a kid doing stuff. At this point, these super spies, by our account, have tranked people, killed people. Yeah. They've still, and they're like, this one kid is such a rapscallion. And he has this thing that will make us millions of dollars. Let's treat him nicely. Like,
but here's the weird thing about that. This was my favorite part of the movie. Like the hijinks, the traps. Like, that's what my kids called it. They're like, the traps. Oh, he's doing the traps now. Like, that was the best of this movie.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest. Home Alone 2, I'll watch it. I watch it every year. I'm not going to say I don't. But I show up for Tim Curry and then the nonsense at the end.
And the traps.
Right? Like, because...
it's all about the traps.
That's when it becomes... like, for after being dead for 50 years, John Hughes brings back slapstick comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, physical black comedy. And it's the best thing. It's the best since The Stooges, man. And it's Daniel Stern grabbing the damn electrodes, trying to wash his hands off, and he turns into a skeleton for half a second. And I've seen that 50 times in my life, 30 times in my life, and I giggle like a child every time I've seen it. And this, everything is a little bit wrong, because it doesn't seem quite right, man. Hi, Candace, you're just staring at me.
No, you're so happy.
I'm very happy.
You're so happy, dog. Like, you love this. You love this stuff.
I have my friends.
I know.
I have whiskey and ham.
I know. It's a good day. It's a good day.
It is.
What was your favorite trap? What was everyone's favorite trap at the table?
I will say, as now a father of children, a lot of these seem too real. Like, for example, the one where there were marbles on the floor just slightly.
You were like, that's dangerous.
No, that would happen to me. Like, the kids would be like, I've left my marbles everywhere, and here's a cloth on top of them, and I would just be paralyzed. I'm not going to be picky, because this is a stupid movie for not for stupid people, but for being stupid and just watching.
Right.
But, like, I was thinking about how in the Hughes movie, they thought through the fact that this was Chicago. And so, say, your external water would just be turned off. You wouldn't leave it on the whole time because it's winter and it would freeze solid. So Kevin is bringing out buckets of water from inside to freeze the steps. And in this one, he just has a hose turned on and it sprays the villain. They also have water in the pool, which Candace was very upset about. Wife Candace, not
so
like neighbor Candace.
What would they do?
You would drain the pool.
You drain the pool up north?
Yeah, you wouldn't have water in it because it would freeze and crack.
We have relatives. They have a heated pool, so the pool stays warm all year.
But even our neighborhood pool, they drain in the winter. It's covered now.
You don't just cover it? You drain it?
Yeah, you take the water out. Because what will happen is a lot of the pipes are PVC, and they'll crack. And again, if they have the heater running the whole time, that's fine.
You can keep the water in if you continue to run it for X amount of hours per day.
Yes.
Even without it being heated.
Because it's the motion that matters.
It is the motion.
The motion of the pool.
I know, because I do pool maintenance for my father and their 10-foot in-ground pool.
I thought it was another job.
No, you know, it might as well be, because my dad has had 2 surgeries in the past 6 months, and I've been having to do all the pool care, and it's a lot.
I thought you just were an expert on motion.
Right? That too.
See, this is why as a comedy team we work, because she indulges my terrible jokes and makes them worse. On my account. Right, like, that, I feel stupider for that, because she played it off better than I set it up, right? It's like an infield bunt.
It works.
So just being silly gooses.
She's the funny one.
My favorite trap was, I guess it was just mud.
Oh.
The girl bad guy who was
her name
like...
Her name's Alice.
The lady bad guy. Lady bad guy.
Alice Ribbons, obviously. From the Ribbons household of Russian mobstery.
Gymnast. She's clearly some kind
She's clearly a gymnast. She's clearly a Russian gymnast. That is what they were going
for. So I think
that
was my favorite trap. But all of the traps were fun. Like, I did note that when the bad guy thinks that he finds a hot girl showering, and he opens the shower door, and the parrot says, If those are real, I'm an eagle.
My wife goes, did they make a boobs joke? I'm like, first of all, of course they
absolutely
made a boobs joke. And second of all, my thought was the Uncle Frank scene from Home Alone 2, because that's what they're referencing, right? Like, there's no original jokes in this, but it's when Uncle Frank is singing and Tim Curry's like peeping, doing a little peeping. And he's singing whatever made up nonsense song he's singing, and it's the clown doll. I know I'm the king of the cool jerk. And he goes, "Hey, you little pervert, I'll skull fuck you," whatever Uncle Frank says to his nephew. But here it's just, I'm sorry, man. Like, it's 97. You got to stop letting your son hang up pornography in his bedroom when he's 13. That was a lot.
Yeah, that was weird.
Listen, if you don't let the boys hang up the girls, how are you going to keep them from being gay? Okay, obviously.
That's true. Maybe that's wrong.
It. I mean, you're a child of the Reagan era. And I mean, I can hear that in your voice.
Thank you. All I know about is some trickle-down economics.
Something trickle-down. I mean, I will say, we already talked about Pamela Anderson. It's the Baywatch. The Baywatch of it all.
Who was the girl in the boob girl? Who was it?
Who was boob girl?
Yeah, who
to
was
the
it?
Internet? I don't know. I mean, I
let's take a moment and think about this.
She was blonde.
It probably would have been like Claudia Schiffer or Heidi Klum or something like that.
Nick's looking it up. Please hold.
I am.
Okay, so I'm either going to go with Claudia Schiffer or Heidi Klum.
Would it have been Pamela Anderson at that point? No, she wasn't that yet.
Oh, no, I mean, it could have been.
But those boobs were too small.
No, they were. It was under boob. All that you could see was under boob. So there was more boob on top that was not visible. So they could have been
up on top. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking. It's hard.
Find it.
Listen, yeah.
We have the technology.
I will say, too, part of the joke, which I think doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, I guess it still makes sense a little bit. I mean, tits funny. But it's the fact that back then it was also the age of the supermodel. Mm-hmm. Right, like, you know, like Claudia Schiffer, you name dropped, checked Claudia Schiffer. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like she was an actress. She was just a model who was known for being a model. Like, and until the TV show, same with Tyra Banks, right? Tyra Banks was just...
Heidi Klum.
And Heidi Klum, right. Mm-hmm. And so you could have told me it was any of those, and I'd have believed you. The reason I don't think it was Pamela Anderson is only that she would have cost more at the time because that was after Baywatch and after Home Improvement, and so she would have charged for her likeness.
I refuse to accept that. I want to know what the poster girl has been up to since Home Alone 3.
We're gonna find out.
Who is the new poster in Home Alone 3?
Yeah, just word that very carefully when you search for it.
Alex is seen peeling the stickers off a nude poster. You smacked my winky.
Who is this girl?
I don't know, man. Maybe it's not a famous person, which would be a shame.
Why would there be?
She's famous. Who's the hot girl that, what's his name, Chevy Chase likes in the Lampoon movies? Who's that?
That's Claudia Schiffer.
That's Claudia Schiffer? Okay. Yeah. This looks like her, so.
It does.
We're going to figure this out. Okay. So those were your favorite trap was the mud.
Yeah, my favorite was the mud. Because
what was your favorite trap?
Well, my favorite is the one...
You started talking about boobs and you got distracted.
It happens.
he started Googling. You said boobs and he just...
I'm helping.
You just went to Google.
I'm helping.
I'm boobling.
No, what I was going to say is the one that makes the least sense, which is the guy who... somehow there's construction in their house and he falls for like four stories and lands on a toilet, but the toilet is like attached, so he like ruins the toilet and the basement starts to flood.
Oh, the one with the sewage leaks onto him. Yeah, my kids like that a lot because it doesn't look like sewage, and I was like, yeah, that's poo-poo, guys, and they were like, oh, that's poo-poo.
Well, and
that's
like
good.
Well, so, no, that was the guy that fell down the stairs because he was stuck in the mega blocks.
That's right.
Oh, right.
You're
was,
thinking
yeah.
about the other guy who came in through the window.
He came
up top,
into the attic.
Oh, sorry.
And they had covered the floor. See, I watched this carefully because, you know, this is very important stuff to me.
So what was your favorite trap?
It was definitely the electric fence just because it looked really cute. Anything where a child has written something and, like, letters are backwards and shit is different sizes... I'm sold. I don't have kids. I think shit like that's really adorable. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so cute. I bet a kid really did write that. When actually it was like a 40-year-old set worker.
I'm going to turn this letter around and make it look more realistic.
Kids would definitely do
that.
That
really does
shit
happen,
like
though.
That,
so. My 6-year-old does that.
Dude, it was so cute that I was like, oh, that's cute. Please touch it and get electrocuted.
We had kind of a weird moment with the scene where the guy goes into, I guess it's like a garage or a shed or something. And he sees the feet hanging, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get you. Yeah. You know, and he goes and he grabs the feet and turns on a lawnmower. and the lawnmower starts going toward. Yeah. And my 6-year-old said, "Ooh, I'm ready to see this." And I was like, "What are you, like a little psychopath?" Like,
do I have a movie for you?
It just chopped the top of his hair off.
Obviously.
Yeah,
it wasn't that bad.
Well, and that's also kind of part of it. I was thinking about the first two Home Alones, which again, I'll stop comparing never. But those, like especially the first one, the idea was that almost everything that he could put away by the end, like they don't actually destroy the house. It's stuff on the floor and and there's ice on the back, but it's Chicago in the winter. There'll be ice. You could explain it away. Mm-hmm. But, like, a lot of this, he's literally just destroying the house.
Yeah, okay. The plumbing is wrecked.
They deserve it. They didn't listen to him and fuck around and find out. That's what it's called.
Yeah, he definitely took it upon himself because he tried multiple times to call the police.
No one would listen, so this is their own fault now. This is what they get.
The janitor from Scrubs fucked it up.
Exactly.
That's why he's a janitor in Scrubs now.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's definitely the case. Now, next question. What is your favorite thing in the film that completely dated it for you? For me, it was the beepers.
Oh, the beepers are
as
a big
soon
part.
As he said the beeper, he was like, "You can beep me on my beeper," and I was like, "Is his dad a doctor or a drug dealer?" I was like, "What's happening?"
Oh, yeah.
And then he even as a child had a beeper, and I was like,
"What did it say?" It said like 911,
which you know that's what you would do. You'd be like, you would say, you know, 911, and then your house number, so that way they would know if there's a problem at the house or da-da. Like I was like beepers. I was like. Wow.
I think maybe the TV in the attic, like the little, like actual legit cube
mine,
of a TV.
Mine was when the dad said he would bring the TV up from the living room.
I mean, yes.
Into his room for it. And I was like, oh yeah.
The dad had been working out because those TVs weighed 7,000 pounds.
They sure did.
I will also say, I mean, we did the whole riff thing.
I mean, that's why he couldn't wear pants because he's got to get that deep squat.
He's got to get them deep squats.
You can't get the deep squat and fucking
khakis. You don't want to crease your suit.
Your Levi's.
Well, first, let me correct you. You don't want to uncrease that suit because those pleats you could see from across the road. I mean,
are important. They're there to protect all of us.
I do appreciate the fact that you're giving me a second go because clearly after that 3.5 minute rant, mine were those giant raincoats that they were wearing that reminded us that any moment Mulder and Scully could show up and start like and replace the father.
It's true.
But
then okay, so there's also the weird scene where the main bad guy goes down. I guess he's in the basement or he's in the laundry room and he sets his pistol down on the washing machine, and just like kind of absentmindedly flips over cloth, like clothes, and picks up another pistol, which I guess the kid planned that he would have.
It's it's a little suction cup.
Yeah, dark it's gun. Like it's like a water shooter pistol, Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. It was a suction like little dart shooter. So like, I don't know how the kid planned that, but that was kind of weird for me.
It was just serendipitous.
It took me out. It took me out of it.
Oh.
Up until that point, I was willing to accept everything in this movie, but that was, you know.
That was the deal breaker?
Yeah.
Wasn't the backlit North Korean guy with the shark tanks talking
that seems real.
Talking to an Italian guy who also speaks French, who also is stealing bread from
We're not done talking
Francisco.
About the fashion though, because like. They're all wearing these 90s snow suits, and the one guy has the snow camo one.
The girl looks really cool.
She
I
has
would wear
a
that.
Hat backwards because it's 1997, and Clinton just got reelected. Like she can say radical at any moment, and it's dangerous.
Remember when the scariest thing in the White House was someone getting a fucking blowjob under the table?
I mean, it was terrifying.
That was,
could you imagine?
God, that was America. Damn, you know what? Let's make America that again.
Hashtag make America blowjob again. And I'm going to guess here. I don't know this because I wasn't in the room when they were editing this mediocre movie. Do you think the big hair thing was supposed to be like a Yanni reference or something? Because it is 97. And the lead guy's long, flowing, huge, because it's like shoulder-length hair that it poofs out. It's a lot. There's so many things going on here.
I think everybody looked like somebody in that movie. You know what I mean? I think everyone looks like a trope. It's a 90s trope.
Who is the trope of the main bad guy?
Which one?
Like the one that had
he's Kevin Kline.
The painted face near the end.
He's Kevin Kline.
Definitely. He does. Actually, you know
it's just like fucking
actually,
Kevin
Kline. Actually, you know
Kline.
Who it reminds me of?
Yeah.
Usual Suspects. The guy, right? Not Kevin Spacey, the other guy.
What about the bad guy girl?
She's just, you know, hot Russian.
Actually,
it's a, trust me, there's a whole subcategory on this website.
What website? What website is it that you're on?
it is a very select group on Pornhub. No, and also this is latter day. This is Pierce Brosnan, James Bond. Like, she's Xenia top. She's
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, you said enough.
Yeah, it's the tropes.
No, we can go
on. I was thinking, like,
we can talk about more
Mila
hot Russians.
Mila Jovovich?
Oh, yeah.
This is early for her.
It's been early for her. I mean, how old
this
she
woman
been?
Was.
She would have only been like 15. She's the same age as Scarlett Johansson, isn't she?
About.
Probably, yeah, because he was like the same age I am. I mean, I'm not saying I taught her everything she knows, but, you know, I mean, we're friends.
This woman duct taped an old lady to the chair so that Mila Jovovich could walk.
Oh, yeah, that's the other weird thing.
No, she didn't duct tape her. It was masking tape.
It was.
And Chris pointed that out. He's like, look at that frail old lady. She's so old, you only need masking tape.
And she's like, I'm going to leave the door open. And
fresh air will do you good. I was like, damn, bitch, you're going to freeze out this old lady? I was like, wow. I was like, yeah, that's on point.
I do like the late 90s old lady who's like dressing up in like a work suit and heels just to walk around the house, I assume.
She's a headmistress.
Nothing has changed with old ladies. As someone who works in geriatric medicine, I can assure you, every one of my patients comes dressed like that
to
the doctor.
They all dress like headmistresses?
They all dress up to the nines because this is their one thing they get to do all day. And they are going to look their best.
See, that's what's different with, like, our generation.
Yeah, we
and theirs.
Two
like,
shits.
I'm going to wear PJs or as close to PJs as I can.
Absolutely.
I feel close enough to you as friends that you showed up and I was wearing just gray sweatpants.
Yeah.
And it's totally fine.
Oh, don't worry. We all noticed.
I mean, and you are wearing something that looks like you hollowed out a stuffed animal.
More
and
than
it looks
once.
Very comfortable.
Nick has admired
me. I know. Like, Nick is almost kind of mad that he's not wearing that.
You can feel they're different.
Those are so soft. Your pants are
the top is different than the... Yeah. It's a different experience. The top is fluffy. The pants are fluffy. Two different
The top
kinds.
And bottom are always a different experience. Yeah. Trust
I will
me.
Say, and you can't see what Candace is wearing, but my daughter tugged on my sleeve and goes, she's wearing an Encanto shirt. Or a Coco shirt.
Coco. Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's because Coco is my hands down number one favorite Disney movie
love
of all
Coco.
Time. Which that's big to say because I lived during the Tim Rice, Alan Menken 90s Disney Renaissance age, and I was that perfect age. I was their target demographic. I know every word, every line from every movie, but Coco.
I feel similarly. It's perfect.
Magnificent.
Does it make you cry every time?
I
oh, my
cry.
God. Just sometimes. If I'm sitting and I'm working on
and
something,
you just
and I'm
think
like,
about Coco.
And I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to cry real hard.
Hashtag Coco and cry.
Yeah, you
just
know when
pull
you
up
just want
the last 10 minutes of Coco.
When you're just like, I really want a moment where I just want to sit here and cry, and I'm like, you know what you need to do? And I just go there and I put Coco on, and that's it. That's all
yep.
she wrote.
Yep.
We're gonna cry. We're gonna cry real hard.
Shaking your whole.
So I am a big fan of the Miguel's. Grandfather guy. What's his name in the movie?
Are we still talking about Coco? Are we back to our current
No,
movie?
We're talking about Coco now. Yes. We'll be back. We'll be back to Home Alone 3.
Okay.
But what's the guy's name?
We can stick to this, by the way.
The actor, anyway.
Okay.
I really like him. I love him in Mozart in the Jungle on Amazon. It's so good.
Are you talking about Hector?
Yeah, Hector.
I've never seen
Mozart in the Jungle.
It's him in real life. Okay.
I don't know who the actor is that plays Hector.
His name is Gael Garcia Bernal.
Oh, it's such a good show.
Also, I mean, I'm not going to convince anyone here to watch it, but he plays an excellent Che Guevara in a movie called The Motorcycle Diaries. That's where I first saw him 20 years ago now. But he's also in Y Tu Mama Tambien.
That's
which is
the one that
hot,
I like that movie. I saw that at the Plaza.
It's a
I
hot
want to watch
movie.
It.
They used to play it above us during Rocky Horror.
Just hear thrusting all the time.
Well, it was Wait, thrusting from both sides of the theater.
What's the movie about?
It's a lot.
And your mama too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he doing to his mama?
They're just two friends.
I thought it was like chocolat.
No, chocolat is beautiful, artsy, and French.
That's what I like.
No.
I'll just read you the back cover.
Okay? Yeah, here we go. Let's do that.
The lives of Julio and Tinoch are, I don't know why I read that like it was Jewish, Tinoch, are like those of 17-year-old boys everywhere, ruled by raging hormones, intense friendships, and headlong rush into adulthood. Over the course of the summer, the two best friends, while living out on their carefree cross-country escapade with a gorgeous older woman, also find a connection with each other, themselves, and the world around them.
Oh!
And just imagine that with a lot of saucy Spanish guitar, and you've got the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
It's like a La Paria, but really sexy.
It is. I mean, and it's Alfonso Cuarón, and it's and beautifully directed. It's very hot.
You like watching it.
It's a great movie. He's the guy who directed Gravity and Roma and The Children of Men.
Well, I've been meaning to watch it because I really like that actor.
Do it.
So
do it. Yeah. Same guy who directed Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay, we can go back to Home Alone 3. Yeah. I just wanted to
back.
No, we're good talking about
Candace's shirt. Take us away. I mean, I feel like that might be pretty much it for Home Alone 3. Like, it's just a lot of hijinks.
It's a lot of hijinks. We talked about our favorite hijinks. Yeah. We talked about the things that immediately dated the film for us, because otherwise, if it weren't for things like the beeper and stuff like that, you could have made this movie 2 years ago. Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a, I feel like that's what I like about kids movies, is that they are kind of timeless. There's not usually a lot of stuff in them that
farts
makes,
are always going to be funny.
Yeah, that makes you feel like, oh, this is definitely this period or that time period or whatever. Like, it is essentially, you can make a kids' movie and enjoy it at any time. But, you know, the fact that there was, like, the lack of cell phones, except for the bad guys had them, but everyone had beepers and, you know, and that sort of thing. It was kind of silly.
Yeah, and a couple things just in general. Like, I'm not going to complain ever about the physical comedy, but there's literally nothing else in this movie.
No.
The other ones had, like, some character development, but, like, the final, you know, I forget what you called it, where the people get beat up. This movie's like 100 minutes. The last 35 of them are the final sequence. Nice. And even before that, they get drug around, kicked about, because they rent a home down the road, as we mentioned earlier. And even then, like, there's like, she gets tied up in the leash of the dog she doesn't want and gets drugged for three blocks. Like, all these little things are fine. It's just, there's no other movie here.
Yep.
Which, if that's what you want, it's totally fine. I like Home Alone 1, and I like movies like Bushwhacked, because the characters are developed just a little bit. There's no development here. They're just like, let's put the kid in mild danger. And then, like, there's a scene where, is it a water balloon or a bowling ball? Like, that is in a diaper, in a slingshot, and the guy opens it up and he's like, oh no, a diaper! And then he gets hit in the face by plaster of Paris and a ball.
I think it was a balloon, because that was one thing my six-year-old was like, ooh, I can't wait to see the red balloon. What are they going to do with it?
Because it adds water to harden the plaster of Paris. Yeah. That's what it is, oh, right? Yeah. And the bag says, have a nice day, and we're laughing. And again, I sound sarcastic. It's just because it's not as good as the other ones, but this is totally fine.
It's fine. If you have kids, I'm sure this was a great sit down, have the afternoon, you know, eat your lunch, watch the film, and then go about your day kind of deal. It's a great little Christmas movie. And then at the end, you know, everyone's together and they invite the old lady in, and then they eat pizza.
From the shed.
Yeah, she's in the shed. I will say, the last bit of this is the FBI does show up, because they're looking for these international criminals, because this is like a movie. You know, this is a movie about movie. And there's the FBI shows up, and it's not Mulder and Scully making out in the back, which is disappointing. It's a hardened cop who's like, you know what, kid? I believe you.
No, I'd like you to know the only person who did their job in this film was the naval recruiter. And now the Air Force recruiter, because the Air Force recruiter actually turned in those numbers, even though he didn't believe the kid. He still turned him in like he was supposed to, and then that's when they ran the check and things. So I would like to say, I want to know, is he getting out of that recruiting station? Is he finally getting moved to an E5 like he fucking deserves?
Yeah.
It's like Scientology. You never get to the end. Oh, no, just to make sense out of whatever the hell Candace is saying for a second.
What?
That wasn't established. Okay, so the kid discovers the chip at one point and reads this and calls the Air Force. But this is a time, sit down, children. You had to look up phone numbers in a book. And also, you had to actually talk to people on the phone after you called them.
See, so that would have been your, that would have been.
What was I doing? I don't remember this.
You were making up a better movie in your head.
I have kids. Look, there were times when I was cooking dinner. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, at one point, my wife came downstairs.
These chicken dinos aren't going to fucking make themselves.
At one point, my wife had finished putting the kids to bed. She came downstairs and said, "How you doing?" And then I lost 20 minutes of the movie. So I'm with you. But no, it's just, at one point, the kid discovers this chip, and it says, like, Air Force on it, like a chip would. And then he calls the recruiter, like Candace is saying, and reads off the serial number, and he goes, "Sure, kid, because it's Chicago, and everyone came from Central Casting." Aye! And then it turns out that it was a real number, and the FBI shows up and ends the movie, because that's what they're doing. They're driving along, panicked down the roads of this frozen Chicago streets, and they're like, "We've got to end this movie!" And luckily... boldly, they end the fucking movie because
They have a picture of the bad guy.
They have a picture of the bad guy, the one guy who has not been caught yet. And then we haven't mentioned him enough yet, but fourth build is this fucking parrot who
he made the movie. Well, I don't know. It's between him and Doris the rat.
But the parrot fucking talks, and he's making fart jokes. He's commenting on those women's boobs.
That parrot was in every movie from 1993 until 2003. That damn bird has more credits to his name than half of the cast
of Walking Dead. Than the main character of this movie.
Yeah, right? Literally, he is... Yeah. Famous.
Okay, you're making a joke, and it's a very funny joke because you're a very funny woman.
Thank you.
But there is a character, a famous crow named Jimmy the Raven, or Jimmy the Crow, sometimes either way. He's actually a raven, who on IMDb, if you look him up, has 1,000 credits on IMDb.
Gosh,
from 1930s to the 1950s.
Well, he was the crow. I mean, he was during the Hitchcock era. You can't compete with that.
He was the, speaking of, this is a Christmas movie, we're in the Christmas era. He was the bird that Uncle Billy had in It's a Wonderful Life.
Do you know I've never seen that movie?
Do you want to talk about crying? That is a movie to cry.
It's really good. It's long, but it's really good.
That's one where you pour yourself the world's largest eggnog.
I mean, I know what it's about in that, like, I've seen all the movies that, you know, are based off of it.
You know the turn, because it's the most common turn in a it's either that, The Grinch, or Peanuts. Everything else is ripped off, or a terrible nativity movie. And yet, you've got to watch it. It's a masterpiece of filmmaking.
It's on my list to do this year.
Do it. You get a blanket, turn off the heat. Just wrap yourself in a blanket so it feels extra
wintry. Open the
wintery.
Door like that old lady, wrap myself in masking tape.
Fresh air will do you some good.
Okay, and you know it's terrible pizza. I'll just throw it out there because it's Chicago, so it should be deep dish, but it's not deep dish.
Not.
And so you know it's bad LA pizza, and you're in trouble. But sorry, just watch It's a Wonderful Life. It's been a couple of years. I might have to watch it and cry into some whiskey this year. But Jimmy has 1,000 credits, so you're right. That parrot has at least 500.
At least.
Because I'm sure he was in another Disney movie where Sinbad looked at him and goes, "What?" And he goes, and he calls him, "I ain't no cracker." And then you cut the scene because it's Sinbad, and he used to have a career.
So that's actually how the parrot ends the movie.
He does. He lights a bunch of fireworks.
He sets that bitch on fire.
So the bad guy is staked out in... an igloo?
Yes.
Is it
it's
igloo?
A doghouse.
it's an igloo doghouse. Yeah. I don't know. I'm from the South, so it's an igloo to me. He's in an igloo, and the parrot rolls up on the race car. The main bad guy is hiding, and the parrot, like, starts to light or threatens to light fireworks on fire. And the guy is like, "Oh, do you want a cracker?" He has a cracker in his pocket. But we've established earlier in the movie that the parrot will only take, as the parrot says, double or nothing. And he doesn't have two, so the parrot lights the firecrackers.
This parrot is a connoisseur of gambling and
he goes
fake
hard.
Breasts. Yeah, he's good. He's good at what he does. he knows the score, man. And then I assume he kills this man. Like,
yeah, I don't know. We don't really
cut to credits.
It's just a huge explosion.
Like, and again, like The mastery of a John Hughes script at the end. Sure, Joe Pesci got the shit beaten out of him, but he grimaces and looks at the McAllister house, and Daniel Stern's like, what band is W-E? Like, so we know they're both alive.
Yeah, we don't know about this guy. We cut
to credits, and this guy is a crispy critter. Like,
well, here's the deal, and I gotta tell you, I mean, hopefully he's dead, because if not, the North Koreans are coming for him.
Could you imagine?
The sequel
is him running from the North Koreans. And then he's got to set up traps for the North Koreans.
By the way, just because I am exactly this person. I've, so far this year, as we're recording on November 11th, happy Veterans Day, I have read 143 books this year. I will recommend one, which is called A Kim Jong-il Production, which is about, it's a story of two South Korean filmmakers who were kidnapped and forced to make movies for the North Koreans in this era. And it's about how they made movies for Kim Jong-il, watched his movies, and then escaped in Austria. It's a hell of a story. And so I just imagine the North Koreans putting these people to the same task. Like, holy shit. I made a much better movie up in my head. This one might turn into a musical, so it's even better. This is when Kieka realizes she should not have volunteered to be on this episode.
I've learned something upsetting, and I don't know if I should share it with
you.
Yeah, no, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Y'all, the parrot wasn't really saying those things.
He's a fraud.
End this podcast. It's over. We're out.
It's a guy named Darren Knotts was the voice of the parrot.
Don Knotts' brother?
I don't know. Is that how you spell it?
Oh, no. Not even close.
Yeah. So
it's a scam.
Everybody's talking at me.
I feel really sad now.
The words they say.
I think I'm going to go watch Coco.
But isn't that the kind of parrot that can talk?
It is.
What was he saying?
So why? Why would he?
It was all racial slurs. They had it in and Craft Services is filled with. Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're like,
they're like literally the parrot's moving its mouth, it's talking, and they're like, we'll fix it in post.
Crack, you know who runs the country? Whoa, 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 whoa. Polly, stop. No.
Man.
He was trained by Walt Disney himself. He knew all those words natively.
I'm so disappointed.
All right, well, I think we're pretty much done. You want to wrap this up on that?
Let's wrap it up.
Oh, God help me. We broke poor kid. I'm so sorry.
So pissed off.
Don't worry. You know what? You know why you'll feel better in a little bit?
Why?
We're going to eat chicken wings.
Oh. Oh,
fuck that bird.
Yeah, you can imagine that it's the parrot.
Take that parrot.
A little bitch.
Poultry.
Okay, what's your final thoughts on this?
Me? Final thoughts?
Keiko, final thoughts.
Yeah, final thoughts. So I feel like you should watch it if you have kids. Like, it's a romp. If you've got kids, I feel like that makes it totally worth it. If you don't have kids, you should probably just watch something else.
I don't have kids. And so if you're going to sit in on a podcast for this film, you should definitely watch the movie. But otherwise, it's probably one you could skip and you'd still be all right. In the Home Alone cinematic universe.
We didn't really talk about this. First of all, you all know me. I'm a Christmas weenie. I'm a Halloween weenie. Like, I love the, like, holidays. I love to decorate. This is not a very Christmassy movie.
No.
Like, the first one, there's, like, 9,000, like, poinsettias.
There is a Santa poinsettia, like, pot that gets stuck
to bludgeon people to death.
But it's just, it feels just...
This is the war on Christmas. This is what they talk to us about.
It's worse. It's just the shitty part of winter.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, even if you're not a Christmas person, at least the fucking lights are nice. Like, this is just like, Chicago and it's fucking cold. Deal with it, kids. Like, there's just nothing joyous or happy. And the kid is just home with chicken pox. And we didn't really mention this. At the end, the villains get chicken pox.
Yes.
And if you watch the movie closely, as the last scene develops, they get the spots on their faces. Like, they do a good job.
That's really good.
And, like, it's just a subtle thing. But it's just... In my mind, the problem with this movie is they put the money in the wrong places. That John Williams score... from that's masterful from the first one is just kind of bastardized here, and we get like a synth version of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing of value other than the fact that they knew they could make money off a sequel. And I know some of us here aren't even really Christmas people, but at least if you played some Christmas music, it would feel like there was a setting. It'd feel like it had weight. This feels like none of that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that bothers me. When we were scheduling this, we thought, let's do a bad Home Alone movie to talk about. This doesn't even feel like a holiday movie. It's December 14th as this comes out. There's nothing here. However, first, thanks for listening, subscribing, and doing everything that you do to make us on the charts. I know we're charting right now, and as I'm looking, 7 countries around the world.
Wow.
And that means that someone is listening to this to fill the emptiness in my soul. But also, we're in the middle of a month of kind of feel-good holiday movies. We've already done some Rankin and Bass nonsense. And we complained, at least I complained personally, about some crappy kid acting. So next week, we're going to do some good kid acting as Mara Wilson reprises and revisits A Miracle on 34th Street. With the 1994 version with Mara Wilson as the girl who's wondering whether or not Santa is real.
That's adorable.
You want to talk about a movie to cry to?
Oh, yeah, I do. That's cute. That's sweet as can be. When Santa signs to that little kid, that's it. I'm fucking done.
That and that essay, Yes, Veronica, There is a Santa Claus. I'm just like, it's Christmas and this eggnog is very strong. So stay tuned next week and every future week as we revisit a little bit of your past on Myopia Movies. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nur Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman, with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Nur Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, creativecommons.com/licenses/4.0. Thanks.